Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
The message today is from the book of Acts, chapter 17. When the apostle Paul and Silas arrived in the city of Thessalonica, they stayed there for 3 weeks. And during that time, a great multitude came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. The presence of the apostle and the good news that they were taught caused a great outcry in the Jewish community because they had impacted many Jewish people as well as Greeks and prominent women. They had impacted the world. And when they did that, when they made their impact into the world, it so stirred up people against them that the Jews ran out and found a group of evil men. That's what it says in the scriptures, that they were evil men, to reinforce their point of view. And they took these men and they ran out before the rulers of the city and they said, in one great shout, and this crowd was behind them and there was turmoil everywhere, and they shouted out, "These are those who have turned the world upside down, and now they've come here too." What they were saying was, "Watch out! These are dangerous people. These are people who transform our normal order of things. They're people that are traitors to everything we stand for. They've come to disrupt. They're going to spread a message that will actually throw down Caesar's rule." They were wrong, of course. The people who were there, the missionaries, Paul and Silas, and all those that were converted, were trying to turn the world right side up, not upside down. God is the author of the cosmos, the right side up order of things. They were there as His messengers, as those He had sent. They weren't doing anything of their own. They were just simply there to be messengers of what God had put on their heart. Missionaries were attempting to turn the world right side up. But the world thought it was a way that affected them and their lives. And so it was upside down for them. If someone is taking drugs, illegal drugs, and they're injecting them into their body, when someone comes along and says, wait a minute, I don't want you to do that anymore. That person who is saying that is asking the drug addict to turn their world upside down to them, because that is their world. A world of oblivion. A world where they find spiritual truth. Wouldn't it be great to see a spiritual revolution come upon us and upon our city, our towns, our schools, our workplaces, our world? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was filled with the presence of God? There were multitudes of people coming to know Jesus as their Savior. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, it takes four things that every one of the people that you have seen in this film has. Not because of who they are, but because they've yielded themselves to God to be who God wants them to be. They are four things. Courage. Courage is the first thing. You have to get up off of the comfortable place where you're sitting and go out into a darkened world. That takes courage. The second thing they need is content. They need the good news buried within them so that it can come out and spread the word so that they would have the fourth thing, which is converts, because they can't do it alone. If you're going to want to do something with this world, you're going to have people to help you do it. And the fourth thing is that they're not afraid of conflict. Every one of the people that you have seen has seen conflict. I was reading in a magazine that came to me this week, Christianity Days, today's latest edition, and it talked about the conflict that Christians were having in India and other places. Conflict. Spiritual conflict. Let us yield now before the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to speak to us. Let's go before Him. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that there are people who are willing. May we be willing to go out and be forceful about the things You put in our heart. May we be willing to go to our next door neighbor, to go to the person in our school, to go to the place in our workplace, or wherever we congregate in restaurants, or wherever we are, may we have a burning desire to share what You have given us. May we know You as we ourselves are known by You. Father, I ask You to cast out everything that I would say. Today, we want to hear only from You. We want to hear Your voice stirring us up, calling us out, giving us our marching orders, doing whatever it is that You want us to do. Make it plain, Father, with every heart that's here. Imprint Your name on every ear that's here. Keep Satan away from us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name that You would build a hedge about us and that we should not ever hear a distraction or know a distraction that is of the devil. May we at this moment hear only You. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us look at verse 2 of chapter 17. Then Paul, as his custom was, went to them for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ that had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered into a mob and set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out, the people. But when they did not find them, They dragged Jason and the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The world that we live in is not what God created it to be. Man lives in a fallen world. An evil world system surrounds us that is hostile to God. The world we live in has been turned upside down from what God wanted it to be. God is not standing idly by either. He's not just standing off someplace and looking vaguely at people. He is sending His message through messengers. He wants the world turned right side up. And such people as He sends into this evil system and disturb the comfort of sinners along the way find anger and hostility when they go forward. Messengers of God want to turn the things of God right side up. There are four characteristics of people who shake up the world. The first is courage. Walter Payton, who was a great NFL running back, he set many of the records. As a matter of fact, he set the record in his 12-year career for the longest number of yards ever run by a running back. 16,726 yards. He ran those yards even though he was small by today's standards. He was 5'10". He weighed 202 pounds. And every 4.4 yards of that almost 9 miles that he ran in the NFL, he was attacked by some 300-pound man who fell on him, who ran into him. Walter just kept getting up and running his race. That takes courage. Maybe Satan is a 300-pound gorilla that you have seen coming against your life. Maybe he has run into you. Maybe he has knocked you down. But when you're down beneath that weight and when you are being pressed into the ground, remember that Jesus called Lazarus from the ground when he said, "Come forth." Remember that Jesus said to the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, "Arise and walk," and the man jumped up. Remember that Jesus said, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And so when Satan gets you down, when he seems on top of you, remember that the words of Jesus are stronger than your circumstances. Yes, it takes courage. But if you have placed the Word of God in your heart, it helps you to get up. And if you live out that Word, if you preach that Word in word and deed, that is what helps the world itself. That's what turns the world upside down. Too many of us try to spread a politically correct message. We're afraid of, well, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We don't want to say anything that would in any way disturb somebody or make them feel uncomfortable. And so we only talk about the good things that Jesus promises. Jesus promises that His followers, those who accept Him, will have life and life abundant and life eternal. And we begin to talk about those things. We don't ever want to talk about anything that's politically incorrect, like confronting someone with their sin or their need to repent of that sin, because that would be considered to be, oh, well, that's just wrong. That's disturbing the people. That puts us in a hellfire and brimstone kind of way. That makes us politically incorrect. That's the problem. Too often of us, we want to be loved instead of being servants of God. But if you're going to improve of someone's life, if you're going to do something that impacts their life, that turns their life right side up in God's sight, you're going to have to make sure that you use what the world considers to be poor marketing techniques. That you tell the people the truth. If you don't, it's unbalanced. It's an unbalanced message you're giving people. You're not telling them the whole story. You're not telling them why Jesus died on the cross. You're just saying He did. Not that He died for my sins and yours. These people who go out into the world said several things. One of the things they said was, when asked how it had changed them, they suddenly realized they couldn't do it by themselves. They could not do it on their own. They needed the help of the Holy Spirit of God. They needed that. They needed the courage that comes, the boldness that comes from being someone who is saturated with the Holy Spirit. They said, if you don't have a passion for people in this world, where you're living, in your own neighborhoods, in your own church, if you don't have that passion for them, then you're not going to have it when you go overseas. Nothing magical happens. Either you have that passion now, or you won't have it when you need it. The unbalanced approach to evangelism finds no support in the Scriptures. Look at verse 4. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. And it means in the original that they joined with them in their belief system that Jesus was the Christ. They made converts. You can't do it by yourself. You need other people. And the God's way of doing that is to make disciples, to make of other people. You need to have spiritual children, spiritual grandchildren, spiritual great-grandchildren. You need a whole downline of people to give you help in reaching the world. Then you can. You have to have those converts with you. And you have to reach them with more than just the courage of your heart. You have to reach them with the content of your character. You have to have content. If they don't see in you that you're living out the Scriptures, then there is no way they're going to follow you. There's no way they're going to listen to you. There's no way that you are standing in front of them and telling them one thing and doing another. They avoid you like the plague. You have to be someone who's totally sold out to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You couple courage with content, then you can make converts. You can make someone to help you. And if you do that, then it tells us in verses 5 through 9 that you will find conflict. Not only you, but those who have followed Jesus will find conflict. You need to tell people the truth. If you follow Jesus Christ, you will see conflict. As a matter of fact, success always has its opposition. There is no way to avoid the opposition. You have to go through it or over it or around it, but you have to get past it. And so opposition comes. There is a saying that you can't make omelets without cracking eggs. I believe that's true. I also believe that what I'm about to tell you is true because I say it, not because I say it. If you're going to make converts, you're going to have to kill, slaughter sacred cows. You're going to have to look beyond the things that are superficial to the things that are real and true. You're going to have to look at someone as God's person. God made that human being. And He made that human being brown or black or white or Asian or He made that human being. And they may be taking drugs, they may be doing all kinds of things that you disapprove of, but God made them, and God loves them, and God laid down His life on a cross for them. So, we're seeing through His eyes, not through our own. There was a man who said he didn't see people groups any longer. He saw people. When we are here on Tuesdays and people are coming for food, I don't see poor people. I don't see black people. I don't see white people. I don't see African Americans. I don't see Asians. I don't see anyone. I just see the person. If you don't have that, you can't see the world as God sees it. So when you're emboldened by the Holy Spirit, you're going to tell people the truth as God is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. You're going to tell them that. Now, you're going to find opposition because they are going to tell you that they prefer to hear the sweet bedtime stories that Satan tells. And so when you come about and you disturb their sleep and you scream out fire and you tell them that if they continue the way they're going, the Bible tells you they're going to spend the rest of their lives in a burning hell, then you have arrived at the place where you're going to get their attention. You have to use the truth. You have to. People want to ignore the truth. We don't like to hear the truth. I don't like to hear that I'm getting older. I don't like it. I think what you're seeing, I do not see. I do not see white beard. I see me like I was in my youth. I've got a picture book that Sandra made for me that shows me when I was good looking. I think she made it for her because she's trying to remember 45 years ago when I was good looking. And she said amen. We have self-images that we try to project and we feel like I'm okay. The Bible teaches us we're not okay if we don't have Jesus. We're not okay. The world is not okay. It's not okay to embrace another God. My Bible says that there shall be no other God before me. And nothing has changed. Are you ready to turn the world right side up? You know, there is going to be conflict. That's the cost of becoming a born-again, remade creature. You've been remade. You're being remade into the image of Christ. Christ was not a wallflower. A wallflower did not take the whip and silently put knots in it so he could whip the men out of the temple. Where was the sweet, loving, quiet, gentle Jesus then? The people who felt those whips didn't feel that. You have to realize that you have to have the courage that only God can give to keep on keeping on. You have to have a knowledge of what God wants you to do so that you can do it. That is content. You have to have converts because those are the proofs that God is within you. Listen to me. God wants you to be fruitful and multiply. And then you're going to face opposition. But God is not going to let you face it alone. With Jesus in me, I am never alone. If it takes 3 stones for David to pick up because Goliath had 2 brothers, then he picks up 3 stones. He walks against a Goliath who looks like he will certainly be victorious in slaying David. David walks out with nothing but a sling. Man's armor is too big for him. He doesn't want it. He doesn't need Saul's armor. He only needs God. If you have the courage to keep on keeping on, you couple that with the content that you speak and live that out so that converts help you to turn the world right side up. You'll be walking toward the cross. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't ask you to follow him to a flower garden, but to the garden tomb where you'd lay down your life for his glory and where it is lifted up by his resurrection. He wants us to follow him. Doing what? He said, go into all the world, make disciples. And what else? Said, these things that I do, you will do, and greater because you go. And so if you have a flat tire, you change the flat tire and you keep on going. If you have a bruised arm, you get it fixed and you keep on going. You keep on getting up, as Walter Payton did. You keep on keeping on. That is what it means to be someone who will turn the world upside down from the world's perspective and right side up from God's. I don't know where you are today. But God does. God knows everything that's been going through your mind. He knows everything that is in your heart. He knows. He cares. We're going to have baptism on the 13th. There are people that are going to be baptized that are ranged from 60 years old down. And I was told this morning that one of the ladies who's 60 years old is so poor of health that she can't take 5 steps without sitting down to get her oxygen back. I don't know how she's going to make it up these steps. But I do know that the God I serve can saturate her with the Holy Spirit of God. That the water in this baptistry will not set her free, but that the Holy Spirit of God will set her free. Maybe God has placed that on your heart, that you want to follow Him through baptism. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary for Him, right here, right now, where you are. Maybe God is calling you to Himself. He's saying, be converted, be transformed, become who I created you to be. I don't know. But I know that we're never too young and never too old to hear that voice calling us.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.